Brother Eric is a missionary to, it's British Columbia, is it not? British Columbia. And he's going to come preach to us this morning. Brother Eric, you come.
And again, it is a joy to be. Let me get this turned on there. There we go. Romans chapter number 5. And I just want to thank Pastor Schrader for allowing me to come. And just want to say that this church has a great testimony. I had the privilege of being at a missions conference back last November with a family that y'all are probably acquainted with, the Hernandez family, going to Thailand. And just want to let you know that they are representing the church well and have a great testimony. And again, it's just a joy to be with y'all this morning. As we get ready to get into the message this morning, again, if you weren't here this morning, again, we are missionaries going to Canada. We do have a display table and we do have prayer cards. And if you haven't grabbed one, I just encourage you to do that. And I got to share my testimony. And it reminds me, when I think of my testimony, it reminds me of a young boy that was sitting in a class, and the teacher asked this question, just wanted to, I guess, feel theological, but they asked the question, what is the name of God? And several young boys wanted to seem impressive, so one of the boys raised their hand and said, I know his name. His name's Jehovah. And another boy, he raised his hand and he said, no, I know his name. His name is Yahweh. And then there's one little boy sitting in the back of the class, raised his hand, and she said, what is God's name? And he said, Andy. She said, what? Andy, what? And then he sang the song in the garden. Andy walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And can I tell you, I learned all about God growing up. And to me, you know what? He was Jehovah. But I'm telling you, whenever I got saved, he became Andy, my best friend. The greatest thing that's ever happened to me is Jesus Christ. And just wanted to, again, just makes me think of it every time. Romans chapter 5, when you find a place, go ahead and stand with me. Romans chapter number 5. And in verse number 12, there's a thought here in Romans chapter 5 that just jumped off the page and has just been on my mind and my heart. And again, just want to, I feel like it's the Lord's message this morning. In Romans chapter number 5, beginning of verse number 12, the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. And here's really the thought, the phrase, for if by one man, you see it everywhere you read through Romans chapter 5, one man. And look what it says. One man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And I want to preach on that thought just this morning, the thought that the Lord's given me through one man. What is the potential? What can be accomplished? What has been accomplished through one man? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. And I pray, Lord, now that you'd fill me with your power. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would just speak to each heart here. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here that's lost, doesn't know you as Savior. Lord, I pray they wouldn't leave here without getting it settled this morning and leaving here as a child of God. And Lord, I just pray now that you would speak to all of our hearts. Help us. And Lord, we give you all the praise and glory for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. I did a study as I was studying this message out, and I looked over history of people that were influential or had played vital roles over the course of history. One man I found by the name of Henry Ford, who played a vital role in allowing automobiles to become what they are today. I'm thankful for that. I'll be honest with you, I had some meetings up in Wisconsin, and I was thankful I wasn't riding on horseback in 20 degree weather or 10 degree weather, or even actually dropped down to minus 22 while I was there. And I'm thankful I wasn't on horseback. But, you know, listen, it came from one man's vision, a man by the name of Henry Ford. I think of another man who played a role in a lot of different inventions by the man of Benjamin Franklin. He invented the lightning rod, iron furnace, he even invented bifocal glasses. And he invented something that I wish really we could do away with, and that's the odometer. I've driven a lot of highways, and I'll be honest with you, it'd be nice to see a sign that says, just drive until it feels right. I haven't seen it yet, but you know, everywhere we go is 50 and 60 miles an hour and 70. You know, and that's for our protection. That's so people don't drive 100 miles an hour down the freeway. But again, it came through one man's invention here by the man of Benjamin Franklin, and also another man, Thomas Edison, who held a world record of 1,093 patents. I had the privilege of, when I had some meetings in Maryland, I got to go to Washington, D.C., and if you've ever been there, in the Smithsonian, you see his notes of the translucent light bulb and how he was able to put it together and be able to channel electricity. And because of his invention, because of his vision, we have electricity. We have lights today. Praise the Lord. We have air conditioning in the summertime. Amen. I know people are thankful for that here. But you know, it all came from one man's invention. Thomas said, as I think of one man also, lastly here, Alexander Graham Bell, and I imagine all of us know what he invented, the telephone. And because of his invention, the cell phone became possible. And it's amazing that I could pick up my cell phone and in a matter of seconds, I could call somebody in Germany. I could call somebody up in Canada. I'd call somebody clear across the world in a matter of seconds. Why? Because of one man's invention. Here in Romans chapter 5, we see a comparison and a contrast of justification versus condemnation. And Paul's trying to help the people of Rome. But I'll be honest with you, he's trying to help us this morning to better understand the efficacy or the effectiveness of Christ's death. This passage also helps us to better understand the potential of what one man or one woman, one boy, one girl can do for good or for evil. So I mentioned a lot of good inventions, but I could tell you one man's name right off the top of my head that by the name of Adolf Hitler, that a lot of evil came forth out of his life. And so it goes both ways, good and evil. But I want to use several different events over the course of history that helped us to better understand the potential of what can be accomplished through one man. Number one, through one man, sin entered into the world. We saw that in verse number 12. I'm going to read it again. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. We read about that man in a place called the Garden of Eden, is where God had created a man called Adam. And He didn't create Adam and Steve, but rather He created Adam and Eve. Amen. And He created them in a perfect place. He created them in an environment that, listen, I believe with all my heart, they could have lived forever. But you know, God gave them a choice. He gave them free will. Can I tell you that's always been the plan of God, is to give man a choice? He could force us to do things, but He doesn't. Because that's not an act of love. Act of love is when you have the ability to choose right from wrong, and you choose right over wrong. And this was the same case here with Adam and Eve in the garden. He told them, "You can eat of any tree except for one." He said, "And if you eat of that tree, ye shall surely die." And let's pick up on that story here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest eat? And the man said, The woman that whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Great verse right there, speaking of prophecy. Speaking, that was God's plan already in process right there. God was laying out that Jesus was going to come and be able to get the victory over Satan. And he even goes on to say unto the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception and sorrow that thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." And unto Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife," and here it is, "and hast eaten of the tree which I have commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life." And it goes on to say, talk about how time started for mankind right in that very moment. You know, I believe with all my heart that Adam never imagined that you and I would be suffering today because of his mistake. One disobedient act. And all of a sudden now sin has entered into the world. And listen, not just sin come upon them, but sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's what the Bible teaches us. And it all started with one man's disobedience. And I think about it, I have four kids. You know, every decision we make, it impacts more than just ourselves as parents. If Adam would have thought ahead and thought about his children and his grandchildren and all the generations before ahead of him, I wonder if he would have made the same decision. But he didn't do that. And I think about it as a parent, it scares me to think about the sins that God could revisit on my children and my children's children and so forth. You know, Adam and Eve, they were cursed. They were driven out of the Garden of Eden because of their sin, their disobedience to God's law. And the end of sin, the end result of sin is found in Romans 6:23. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Now listen, death comes in two forms. One, there's the first death, and that's the physical death as a result of sin. And you and I, listen, if you've lived long enough and you have enough relatives, my mom and dad are already passed away. My grandparents are passed away. Listen, because time is ticking on mankind. Time started ticking as soon as they ate of the tree. The curse was put upon them. And as a result, listen, time started ticking. And as a result, death became a reality. You and I, listen, will face death. Why? Because of one man's disobedient act. Listen, sin came in the world, and sin brings forth death. Physical death. You know, I've witnessed to a lot of people, and I've asked them, and I've told them that, you know, you need to trust God. God is a God of love, and I've had a lot of people mock at that. Because they think, if God is a God of love, why does He allow this to take place? I mean, why does He allow wars to take place? Why does He allow the children to suffer today? Why are there children that are born with leukemia and cancer and have to endure all this hardship in their life and physical suffering? Why? If there's a God in heaven that loves us, why would He allow this? And I always answer this way. God never intended for mankind to live like this. But rather, mankind chose. Adam chose. And because of that, listen, you and I, we face the consequences of his action. You know, but outside of the physical death, there's a greater death to fear. And it's found in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Because the reality of it, if the Lord tarries His coming, we're all going to die. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to help us to understand reality. And the fact is that because of this sin that's come into the world, we have sicknesses, we have diseases, and people pass away all the time. And because of that, listen, the physical death is a reality to everybody outside of the rapture. But you know, there's a second death that is greatly to be feared in Revelation 21 and verse number 8. The Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And my friend, listen, we're all going to die physically speaking, but I'm telling you, there's a death that's greatly to be feared, and that's the death, the second death in the lake of fire. You read about it in Luke 16. It talks about a rich man and a poor man. And listen, the poor man, Lazarus, when he died, the Bible says he was carried to Abraham's bosom by angels. And I believe with all my heart he's in heaven this morning, because then Jesus set him free there when he died on the cross of Calvary. But I believe that the rich man in hell, when he lifted his eyes, he was in torments. He was in pain. He was in suffering. You say, what is that? No, that's not the physical death. But rather, that's the second death. The second death, but the Bible says the worm dieth not and the fire is not. That means that a person is burning constantly, but never consumed. I don't know if you've ever burned your finger or burned your hand. My brother-in-law, he's a welder. And he was welding a fence together. I remember helping him, and I made a bad mistake. He had welded a piece, and I was talking to him, and I didn't even think about it. I put my hand up there, and my thumb caught that. And I'm telling you, when it comes to that melding, that welding heat, there's no fire like it. I put my thumb in a glass of water, and it started bubbling almost. I mean, that's how hot it was. I couldn't stop it. Can I tell you, people in hell, that's what they're enduring right now. They're enduring a fire that just can't be quenched. It can't be stopped. It's just burning and thriving. And I'm telling you this morning, if you're lost, and you need to understand that we're all born sinners, not necessarily by choice, but rather we're born as an inherited sin nature that's passed upon all men. And listen, because of that, there's physical death, but I'm telling you, there's a second death, and that's the lake of fire. That's a place called hell. But you know, the story doesn't end there. I love Paul Harvey. I love that quote they used to always give. That's not the end of the story. Because in Romans chapter 5, it tells us about another man, that through one man, hope came into the world. Turn back with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter number 5. Back in our text, we see that one man, and he's named very clearly here in the Scripture. Romans chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 15, the Bible says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead," talking about Adam, "much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." And can I tell you this morning, my hope is not found in the government. I don't care if a president says, "Hey, we need change, and it'll bring forth hope." And I'm going to tell you, I don't see that in the Bible. I just see that there's only one man that can offer hope. Listen, my hope is not resting in living a good and moral life. Even though I believe as a born-again Christian, that should be my heart's desire, is to live a good and moral life. My hope doesn't rest in material possessions and having great wealth. And I'm telling you, we live in a country today that, you know, that's what they're chasing. The almighty dollar. A lot of people believe that this country was born upon capitalism versus religious freedom. And can I tell you, my hope does not rest in material possessions. You can go to the Old Testament, you can turn there, and you can read about a man named Solomon who had, he said, silver and gold. He said, "I had everything. I had wisdom more than they all." But he said, "At the end of my life, it's vanity." What is that? That's empty. There's nothing there. There's no hope. There's not. It's just empty. It's vexation of spirit. Can I tell you, hope does not rest in material possessions. Hope only rests upon one man. Listen, that man is Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the door. Listen, he is the bread of life. He's an everlasting water. He told that woman at the well, "You could drink of that water." He said, "You're going to be thirsty again, but you drink of this water," speaking of himself. He said, "You'll never thirst again." Can I tell you that there's only one man that can bring forth hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. By definition, he was the Messiah. Christ means the anointed. He was the one that they looked for, the longed for, but the sad thing is they missed him, the Jews did, when he came to earth and he died for them. You know, in John 3:17, the Bible says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful that, listen, he came, he didn't have to come to the earth. He could have just stayed in heaven. And I'll be honest with you, you know, I think about, if it was me, that's probably what I would have done. On streets of gold, no pain and suffering, having angels at your beck and call, everything. And listen, to come to this earth, listen, that was not a step up. That was rather a step down. To take upon flesh. To feel the temptations as you and I feel. But I believe it was helpful for him, because now he understands our temptations. He understands the things that we battle. But you know, he did it for you and I. He did it so that you and I can have hope. And he's the only one. I want you to listen to me this morning. He's the only one that can bring you hope this morning. Listen, through one man, sin entered in the world. That man was Adam. And because of his disobedient act, listen, we're all born sinners. And we're all born in need. But praise the Lord, God looked down, and "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," that Son being Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross of Calvary, offering us hope. You know, lastly here, through one man, there's enough power to change the world. There's enough power to change. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. These are the words of Jesus, humanly speaking, as he was getting ready to ascend into heaven. He gave some instruction to his disciples, and he gave really the commission, the charge for the church, the purpose of the church. In these verses here in Matthew 28 and verse 18 through 20, there's two thoughts that really connect together that God highlighted as I studied through here. And I want to share them with you this morning. In verse 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying," and here it is, "all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And here's the other thought that connects. "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Can I tell you that, listen, Jesus was saying, hey, he said, "Guys, I'm going to leave, but listen, you're going to have the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to be with you everywhere you go. As long as you're being witnessed, as long as you're being a light, I'm going to be with you. You're not going to be alone. Listen, you're not going to be comfortless. And listen, you're going to have all power." He said, "I have all power in heaven. I've got all power in earth. It all belongs to me. I created it all. I control it all. And when I leave, listen, I'm putting that power with you. I'm giving you that power through the power of the Holy Spirit." You know, in Bible college, I remember hearing stories about the old revivals of the past where cities would just literally shut down. And revivals would go long, I mean, for like a month long. And you would hear, but I heard stories of drunkards that before that revival came, they were drunkards, they were living on the street. And listen, after that revival swept through, listen, they threw the beer bottle away, they got a suit on, and they were singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. And I've heard people say that that was in the old days. That can't be done. You know, my thought is I guess we serve a different God then. Because I don't think the question is, can God? I believe that there's nothing too great for God to do. I don't think the question is, can God? I think the question is, will God? Will God? The only way He can is if, listen, born-again Christians tap into His power. And I want to give you three simple ways of how we can tap into the power of God this morning. Number one is by believing that He is able. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9. It helps better explain this thought. Mark chapter number 9, we read about a demon-possessed man that his father had brought to the disciples for healing or restoration. And, you know, that's a good place to go when you got a problem in your life. Go to Jesus. Amen. Go to the Bible. Go to your pastor's counsel. Come to church. Hear teaching and preaching from the Word of God. But, you know, this man brought his son to them to be healed. And Jesus tells him something in verse number 20. The Bible says, and they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, and oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, this is the Father, if thou canst believe all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. So you might be here this morning and say, I believe. But listen to what he says. Help thou mine unbelief. Help thou mine unbelief. Because I'll be honest with you, you can have saving faith, but I'm telling you, there, you know, trials are going to come in your life, circumstances that they're going to be out of your control. And what you're going to have to believe is that God is in control and that He has all power. And that's what he was telling that man. He said, I believe, Jesus. I believe that you're the Savior. I believe that you're the Messiah. But he said, do you believe that I can do all things? There's a difference. You know, whenever my house back in, not last October, but the October before that, a couple of years back, I sat there and I watched my house burn to the ground. And I had my wife crying and weeping. I had my children weeping as they saw all their things that they owned burn to the ground. You know what I had to believe at that point? I had to believe that God was in control. Amen. I had to believe that He had the power of all things. You know, it's easy to say when you're up on the mountaintop, but it's in the valley that this is tested. And I'm telling you, if you can't get to a place in your life where you just believe that, listen, all things are possible to him that believeth, and you come to that place where maybe this morning you say, I don't have that kind of faith. Well, it'd be a great thing this morning if you just cry out and say, Lord, help me. Just like that father, help my unbelief. Help me to be stronger as a Christian. Help me to have more faith and walk with you. You know, I think about the Apostle Paul, and it's amazing. Whenever he traveled on his missionary journeys, he never lost his faith in God. Even if he was beaten and thrown in prison, I think about the jailer there in Philippi. Whenever they got beaten and thrown, they were singing and praising God because they believed he was in control. They believed that they were there for a purpose. And listen, because of that jailer got saved, his house got saved. There's no telling how many people in prison got saved. And I'm telling you, listen, the power of God, it rests. It rests in Christians believing that he is able. Not only that, but also, we find in verse number 28, the disciples, they tried, but they struggled and they could not do it. In verse 28, it says, and when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind, talking about this kind of power, can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, I know in the Baptist Bible, it's prayer and feasting. Amen. But, you know, really where the power of God rests is by getting along with God. And crying out and going through a time where you just say, God, I'm depending on you. I'm depending on you. I think of D.L. Moody who had a church there in Chicago and he had, you know, he was seeing several people saved and they had two widow women that were in the back and they said, Brother Moody, we're praying for you. He said, don't pray for me. He said, pray for sinners. Pray that they get saved. Pray that they can hear the gospel. He said, no, we're praying because there's a power that you don't possess yet. And they prayed. They prayed. And all of a sudden, the power of God came upon him. And listen, he would preach the same sermons. And before, where we'd have 5 people saved, now he was having 50 people get saved. And also before, when he was having 10 people get saved, now it's the same sermon, the same illustration, the same outline. Everything's the same, but all of a sudden now 100 people are getting saved. What is that? That's the power of God. That's 2 widow women that were resting in the back saying, Brother Moody, we're praying for you. I hope that you pray for your pastor. Pray that God's power be upon him. Pray for your missionaries, the Hernandez family and other missionaries you support. Pray that God's power would be upon him. But I'll tell you, also you need to pray for your lives, that God's power would be upon you. I think of in Bible college, and listen, I'm nobody. I got burdened because I knocked on a lot of doors and talked to a lot of folks, and I got discouraged because I wasn't seeing people get saved at the door. I wanted to see that so bad. And I had a lot of people that we were able to bring to church, and you know, I had a lot of people telling me that, you know, that's, you just need to get them to church. Get them to church. Get them under the sound. And I believe that. I believe that they need to come to church and get under the sound. But I said, what if they don't make it to church? What if they die before Sunday comes around? What if they don't have an opportunity? And I thought that in my heart. I got burdened. And one night at work, I prayed and I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, please help me. Please help me to cross paths with somebody at the door that are just open, receptive, ready to hear, ready to get saved, ready to get born. And I prayed that night and I didn't eat anything. That next morning, that was a Friday night. The next morning, Saturday, we went out and knocked doors. The third door I knocked on, I asked the man, I said, now, if you die today, are you sure that you go to heaven? And he said, well, I go to the church down there. And I said, no, that's not what I asked you. I said, if you die today, would you go to heaven? And he started crying. He said, no. He said, no. His wife had been praying for him for a year. And you know what? The Holy Spirit was just waiting to lead somebody by there. Somebody that was waiting to... praying, fasting, getting the power of God. And I'm telling you, that man got born again that morning. You say, what is that? That's the power. That's the result of fasting and praying. That's the power of God. And it's available. It's within us. The Holy Spirit's right here. He hasn't left us. He's right here. But what we got to do is tap into it. You say, Brother Nelson, how can we do that? We just need to believe. As Jesus said, hey, he said, you need to believe that all things are possible. Then he told those disciples, he said, this kind of power can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Also, lastly here, I think of the Apostle Peter and again how he denied the Lord. And the Bible says he went all night, a commercial fisherman, fished all night and caught nothing. I wonder whether the odds of that, fishing at night, which is a common time, but really the best time to go fishing at night or in the early morning, fished all night and caught nothing. But you know, Jesus was standing on the seashore that morning. And he came forward to him and he caught him eyeball to eye. He was just looking straight at him. And he asked him one question. He said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? I've heard a lot of people ask, what are the these? The these. I believe it's the friends. He had disciples. He had friends back in that boat. I believe it was that boat. I believe it was fishing. Do you love me more, Peter, than the fishing? Do you love me more than, am I number one in your life? And he settled that question. Listen, and we read about him on the day of Acts, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, how power fell like never before. 3,000 people were saved. And listen, he got to preach the message. Amen. You say, where did it all start? It started when he settled the question of who was in first place. Who was number one in his life? I wonder this morning, just Jesus, is he number one? Lovest thou me more than thee? Lovest thou me more than the job? Lovest thou me more than these friends? Lovest thou me more than these hobbies? Because listen, until he comes first place, listen, we can't tap into the power of God. Listen, through one man, sin, talking about Adam, entered into the world. And because of that, listen, we're all here. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, but praise the Lord, the story doesn't stop there because Jesus came to the earth. He died on that old rugged cross. Listen, He died for you and me. Listen, He bore our sins on the cross of Calvary. And 3 days later, He rose out of that tomb. And He lives in heaven. And because of that, because He lives in heaven, listen, hope is available for every person. Every person. It's there. And not only is hope, but listen, when a person gets born again, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within them. And then there's the capability of changing the world forever, for all eternity, because they have all power in heaven. Jesus said, I have all power in heaven and in earth. And He said, it's right there in you. and through the power of the Holy Spirit. I just wonder this morning, are we tapping in? I wonder this morning, have you accepted that free gift? I wonder, do you have the hope, or are you trusting in other things this morning? I think of my mom whenever she passed away. Never got to see me get saved. When I was 26, she never saw me get saved. She never saw me give my heart to Jesus Christ. But you know, one of the most precious things she left me was her Bible. And as I studying through there, I came across a page that said, "I'm praying for Eric. I'm praying that he'll get saved. I'm praying that he'll find the will of God for his life." Listen, I'm here because of through one praying mother, there's a missionary going to Canada. I wonder what God could do with your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you again for the message. Lord, I pray that you've spoken to hearts. Lord, I pray that you would help us to examine our life. Help us to realize that we're all sinners, Lord. And that you loved us. You sent your Son to die for us. And that we might have hope. That we might have salvation. That we might not have to go to a place called hell, but that rather we can go to heaven and live there for all eternity.